Amen. Well, buckle your seatbelts and open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. There was a second grade elementary school teacher who asked the boys and girls in her class what they do to help out around the house. And one little boy raised his hand and said, "Well, I wash the dishes." And another little girl raised her hand and said, "I sweep the floor." And other children raised their hands and said things like, "Well, I take out the trash," or "I feed the dog." But the teacher noticed there was one little boy whose hand was not raised. And so she called him out. And she said, "Hey, you Johnny in the back, what do you do to help out around the house?" And he said, "I get out of the way." Well, how many of you understand there are people who, when it comes to ministry and when it comes to service, they have decided that their job is to get out of the way? But I'm here today to tell you there is no getting out of the way when it comes to God's work. Everyone is needed, all hands on deck. Now, this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to be pausing from our study in Luke in order to talk about service. All of this leading to next Sunday night, we're going to have our ministry fair. You can come and learn some of the many ways that you can serve and work at First Baptist Church of Homestead. Because whether you realize it or not, every single Christian is saved to serve. You are called to ministry. You may not be called to be a vocational pastor or evangelist or an overseas missionary, but if you have been born again, you are saved to serve. And there's this phrase that we use around here every now and then. It goes like this: if you want to grow, you got to serve. If you want to grow, you got to serve. Everything that I read in Scripture points me to this conclusion, that it is inconceivable that any Christian could sustain a spiritual growth if they are not serving. No matter how many Bible studies you join, and no matter how many worship services you attend, at the end of the day, if you want to grow, you've got to serve. This morning, we're going to look at just two verses from 1 Peter chapter 4, and there is no way that we will really be able to mine the depths of this verse. These verses are so rich. But this is a passage which I believe revolves around a single word, which we see in verse 10. It's the word manager. Peter said, "We are called to be good managers of the varied grace of God." Now, notice that word manager in verse 10, because that is the same word that many times translates steward. Now, we don't use that word often, especially outside of the church, but in Peter's day, everybody was familiar with this concept. Everybody knew of the concept of a landowner or a business owner who would hire or have a steward who would manage his land or his house or his affairs in general. In fact, in the first century, when someone was referred to as a steward, everyone automatically knew five things about that person. When someone heard the word steward, they knew that that person, his life was not his own. Number two, his mission was to do the will of his master. Number three, he owned nothing. Number four, his job was to manage the master's affairs. And number five, he would give an account for his management. All of that was known. All of that was just automatically built into that word, steward. So Peter takes that word and says that we are stewards. We're not just stewards of the money God has entrusted to us. We're stewards of our time. We're stewards of our homes and our families. We are stewards of the gospel. And this morning we're going to see that we are stewards in sense of the ministry to which we have been called. And so I want to share with you some implications, some characteristics of a good steward of the ministry. First of all, I want you to notice that a good steward is equipped for God's work. A good steward is equipped for God's work. Now, technically, this segment begins in verse 7 where Peter says, "Now the end of all things is near, therefore." Now, if the end of all things was near in Peter's day, how much more true is that in our day? And because the end is near, because Jesus is coming again, therefore, he says, we should be doing certain things. And one of those things we see in verse 10. Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Now, we're going to break down that sentence, but look at the first part of that. Peter says, you have received a gift, now use it. I want you to notice what he does not say in verse 10. He does not say, those of you who have received a gift, use it. Nor does he say, if anyone has received a gift, then use it. No, he says, based on the gift each one has received. Now, there's a presumption there. The presumption is, if you are a born-again Christian, you have received a gift. He's talking here about spiritual gifts. The moment you were saved, you received at least one spiritual gift. Now, someone might ask, well, what's a spiritual gift? It's not just a natural ability. It's a gift or it's a talent or an ability that is given and empowered by the Holy Spirit to use within the life of the church. And there are three different passages that I would encourage you to look at and study over and pray over if you've never done so before, which give us lists of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And some of you who are new, I encourage you to look over these passages and pray over these lists. Some examples are prophecy, the gift of teaching, helps. There's a spiritual gift of administration, service, exhortation, meaning encouragement, leading, a spiritual gift of mercy, evangelism, and others. One thing you will notice is that all three of these lists are different, and you will also notice that there is no one spiritual gift that is found in each one of these lists. What that tells us is these lists are not meant to be exhaustive. These are just a sample of the ways that God equips his people for service the moment they are saved. But again, the main point is that everyone has received a gift and everyone is to use their gift. Now, people will hear that and ask me, I get this question all the time, well, Pastor, how will I know what my spiritual gift is so that I can use it? And personally, I believe the best way for you to discover your spiritual gift is to study those scriptures that I mentioned, to pray over them, and then just jump in and experiment. Let me tell you, you will find out as you get busy serving the Lord, as you get plugged into a ministry, you may find out real quick that there are certain spiritual gifts you don't have and some things God has not called you to do. I remember in college a couple of summers I spent as a full-time evangelist going every few days from church to church to church to church. And I learned real quickly God had not given me that spiritual gift and God was not calling me to that ministry. Now that's okay because God was using me even as he brought me to a conclusion that he really wanted me doing something else, that he really wanted me serving as a pastor. Well, you will discover there are some ways God has not equipped you, but you will also discover that God has equipped you to serve him in some unique ways. And the Bible says that whatever gift you have, really it's not yours because you are a steward of it. That means ultimately even your spiritual gift belongs to God. Someone once said there are two ways you can steal from God. You can steal God's money by not giving it, and you can steal from God's ministry by not doing it. You might be here and think to yourself, well, I've never knowingly taken a thing in my life. But if you are not using the spiritual gift you have received, I dare say we're stealing from God. And the reason why God doesn't just call us to heaven the moment we are saved is because we have work to do. And God has gifted each and every one of you, and he has equipped you for that work. And so we see that a good steward is equipped for God's work. But then secondly, in that next statement in verse 10, we see that a good steward is a servant to God's people. A good steward is a servant to God's people. Again in verse 10, based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others. Use it to do what? Serve others. God has not given you spiritual gifts in order to promote yourself. God has given you spiritual gifts in order to be a servant to others. In fact, that word for serve in verse 10 comes from that same Greek word from which we translate servant or deacon. It is the same word that Jesus used when he said, whoever is great among you, let him be a servant. It's the same word that he used a couple verses later to say, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be a servant. So the spiritual gifts God gives to us when we are saved are given to us so that we can serve others. I read this fascinating article that came out last year about a lady named Alexa Sexton from the town of Bristol, Tennessee. Last year, she celebrated her 21st birthday. You know, a lot of folks, they turn 21 and they decide to use their 21st birthday to get drunk or get in all sorts of trouble, do something crazy. But Alexa Sexton decided that she was going to do something different because a few months before her 21st birthday, Alexa Sexton got saved. She became a follower of Jesus Christ. And when she got saved, everything was changed. It completely transformed her way of thinking. So she decided that on her 21st birthday, she would celebrate not by throwing herself a party, but she would celebrate by performing 21 acts of service for others. She started off by doing something special for her mom. Then she went to the hospital and brought refreshments to the surgical waiting room areas. Then she went floor to floor and just prayed with people. Then she went to the local fire station and brought everybody breakfast. And then she went to the laundromat and paid for someone's laundry. And then she went to the gas station and bought a stranger a tank of gas. Then she fed some parking meters that were about to expire. And she did this all day long. Now, the media found out about this. You start doing extravagantly good deeds like this, and people are going to notice. And the media found out about it, and they tracked her down after the fact. And this is what she said. She said, quote, I gave my life to God, and he changed my heart. It was a 180 turnaround because of him. I firmly believe that I was put on the earth for a purpose, and a large part of that purpose is to inspire kindness in others. She said that her inspiration, her life verse, is Hebrews 13, verse 2, which starts off by saying, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. I read the story of this young lady celebrating her 21st birthday. I thought, that's a great thing to do for your birthday. You know, I'm getting up there, so I'd have to start real early if I were to do that many good deeds. And some of you might need a couple of days in order to pull it off, but that's another story. I'm thinking that's a great way to celebrate your birthday, but that's an even better way to spend your life. And not just to serve, but when we look at these passages that describe for us spiritual gifts, we are told again and again, very clearly, very explicitly, that these spiritual gifts are given to us for service within the local church. We are to serve God by serving God's people in God's church so that together, as the body of Christ, we can together reach out and serve others. And you see, this is the difference between a mature Christian and an immature Christian. An immature Christian comes to a church and asks, well, how can this church meet my needs? But a mature Christian will ask, how can I serve the needs of others here? An immature Christian will come to a church and ask, who will meet my needs? But a mature Christian will ask, whose needs will I meet? Well, we see that a good steward is equipped for God's work, and a good steward is a servant to God's people. But then a third thing, a good steward is a vehicle of God's grace. A good steward is a vehicle of God's grace. Once again, in verse 10, Peter says that we are to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Now, two words here, varied grace. Varied grace. Now, first of all, the word grace. Oh, how we love that word, grace. We love to talk about it and preach about it and sing about it. The unmerited favor of God. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It is freely given. It's grace. And there are numerous ways in the scriptures that grace shows up in our lives. There's common grace. The grace God bestows on everyone. Jesus said that God makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. That's his grace. That's common grace. Everyone experiences that. And then we think of saving grace, the grace that God gives, that moment that he saves you and your sins are washed away. We see sustaining grace. God's grace sustains us. You think of Paul's thorn in the flesh, and he prayed and asked God to remove it. And God said no. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace sustains us during those hard times of life. We see God's provisional grace. He provides for our needs. His sanctifying grace. He works in our lives to make us holy. But then we notice here, what we have is serving grace. It is the grace of God, out of God's grace, that we are able to serve him. And when we do, guess what? Our lives actually become vehicles for the grace of God unto others. Maybe you have the spiritual gift of evangelism, and you can share the gospel with anyone just so naturally and connect with people in that way. And you take that gift and you use it, and all of a sudden, someone hears the gospel and they are saved, and they experience God's grace through you. Some of you may have the spiritual gift of mercy. You are just able to see that person who is down and out, that person who has fallen. Maybe they've blown it, but you can come alongside of them and pick them up like no one else can, and you can encourage them. Maybe before, that person had a textbook definition of grace, but now they've experienced it up close and personal. Now they know what God's grace is all about because God used you. We see that word grace, but notice what Peter called it in verse 10. He called it varied grace. Why is it called varied grace? Well, that word varied in the original language means multicolored. God's grace is multicolored. God's grace is like a rainbow. And every believer is like a certain color in that rainbow. Every child of God is like a different shade, a different hue. It's as if God dips his paintbrush into the different colors that are the spiritual gifts and the many ways that those gifts are used. And then he paints every single Christian in a unique and a beautiful way. And this rainbow that is God's church, it's not complete unless every single color is present within the spectrum. It's called a multicolored grace because God equips you to serve him in a way that is different from how God has equipped anyone else. And if God has equipped you uniquely, that also means that there is no one else who can fill your shoes if your gifts are not being used and if you are not serving God. Somebody else might step up and fill your position, but no one else can fill your shoes and no one else can take your place. No one else can do what God has called you to do. And so we see a good steward is a vehicle of God's grace. A couple more things. We see that a good steward is also dependent on God's strength. Look at verse 11. If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides. You will notice that many of the spiritual gifts in those lists that I mentioned earlier are gifts that involve you opening your mouth and speaking. For you to encourage someone, normally that involves speaking encouraging words to them. Evangelism certainly involves speaking. It involves you opening your mouth and sharing the gospel with someone. And of course, we immediately think of preaching and teaching, which may be exclusively what Peter had in mind here. But these are speaking gifts. Now, Peter says, if you have a speaking gift, then whose words are you going to speak? You better make sure that you're speaking God's words and not your own. And by the way, there's an absolute famine out there when it comes to preaching that is based on the word of God. Well, Peter mentions speaking gifts, but then he says, if anyone serves, it should be in the strength God provides. If anyone serves, for most of you, your spiritual gift falls into this category. Some of you are called to serve in what I call behind the scenes ways. You know, nobody notices sometimes the bus driver until you show up for Sunday school and notice that your friend isn't there. because there was no one to drive the bus that day. And yes, sometimes that happens. You don't notice so much the people in the sound booth unless there's feedback. You don't always notice the words on the screen until they fail to appear. You don't notice some of the repairs that are getting constantly made around the church until all of a sudden those repairs are not getting made. And you have these behind-the-scenes gifts that are so absolutely vital for the life and for the health of the church. You have these speaking gifts and you have these serving gifts, but in both cases, there is one source of power behind them all. Peter says, if you serve, you must serve in the strength God provides. Now, listen to me carefully. We must do God's work by God's strength. And just as it is important to do God's work, that's how it is important to rely on God's strength to do God's work. The work that you do for God, and I'm standing here today talking to you about the importance of working and serving. You might think I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. But the work that you do for God in serving God can never take the place of your relationship with God. It can never replace the time that you spend with God. It's so easy for some of you to fall into the trap of trying to do God's work on your own strength, to get so busy doing stuff for God that you no longer have time to just be in His presence and to worship Him and to experience Him and to get into God's Word and to hear from Him. God's work must be done by God's strength. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is working in you." Who's doing the work? God is. God working in you. A good steward is dependent on God's strength. Well, let me just share with you one final thing. A good steward is a reflection of God's glory. Look at the end of verse 11. Everything we are to do in verses 10 and 11 is, quote, "so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." He closes this section on us serving and using our spiritual gifts with this beautiful and glorious doxology. And this is why we serve, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, because He deserves glory forever and ever. We don't serve so that we will be noticed. We don't serve so that we might get applause. We serve and we work because God deserves nothing less. And when everyone within the body of Christ will take the spiritual gifts that they have received and use them to serve, there's something beautiful here that happens. Peter says the church becomes a place where the glory of God is revealed. People experience the glory of God in our midst in a mysterious but in a very real. Don't you long for that to describe First Baptist Church of Homestead? You know, we've been talking about stewards. One thing about a steward, as I said earlier, is they will eventually give an account. And one day, we will each stand before God and give an account for what we did with the gifts that God lent us. God's going to ask us, in what ways was your church stronger because of the manner in which you used your gifts in that place? What did you do with those gifts to serve others and build up the body of Christ? When Christ returns, I want Him to find me working, not watching. Let me say in closing, years ago, there was an actor named Robert Brookfield. You've probably never heard of him. There's a reason why. Toward the end of his life, Robert Brookfield was mistakenly reported to have died. He had the rare opportunity of getting up one morning, opening up a newspaper, and reading his own obituary. This is a line from that obituary which he read. It said about him, quote, "Never a great actor, he was invaluable in supporting roles." I don't think that newspaper meant it as a compliment. They certainly didn't think that he was actually going to read it, because they thought he was dead. But maybe it was a compliment after all. Because I know many people who will never be known, they'll never be seen, they'll never get applause, they'll never be considered great in the eyes of this world. but they excel at supporting roles. And they excel in serving others. The Bible says they are great in the eyes of God, and God gets the glory. What kind of steward will you be?